But by the grace of God, I am what I am, the Bible says. Amen. What would we be without His grace? According to the Bible, we'd be heading on our way for hell, if not in hell today. And it's only by God's grace that we are not. It's only by God's grace that He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on that old rugged cross, to be that penalty of sin for us. And it's not by our works, the Bible says, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. And if you're relying on who you are and the type of person that you are or the deeds that you've done in this life to get you to heaven, can I say you're sadly mistaken this morning? Because only by God's grace, your faith in what He did on the cross, that's the only way that heaven is given to us according to the Bible. And thank you for that song. That was wonderful. In life, there's two types of people. There's sellouts, and we all know the sellouts. People with no conviction. They're so easy to give up on something. They sell out for the smallest thing. You know, the one that always goes to the highest bidder. He works for the highest bidder. Or the guy that always cheers for the team that's winning, right? The Cubs finally won after 108 years. And you get all the bandwagon fans that they're all Cubs fans now, right? The ones that always swap because whatever's going to treat them better, that's what they go after. They're the sellouts, if you want to put it. And then you have the soldouts. The ones that are committed, they're not changing. 108 years of losing and they're still saying, go Cubs, right? The sold outs, the ones that are committed, they're not changing for anyone or anything. The athlete that gives 110%. The employee that treats the business like his own. And let me say, when it comes to the Christian life, you also have two types of followers or two types of Christians. You have the sellout Christian, the Christian that has no conviction. He's not sold out to anything. Whatever's going to sell the best to him is the way that he'll go after. And then you have the sold out Christian. The one that's sold out. The one that is in all in it. There's not too high of a cost for him to follow Christ. And this morning in our text, we find two followers of Christ that are examples of these two different people. The sold out and the sell out. We find two people that yes, they're both followers of Christ, if you want to call it, but they couldn't be more opposite. And I want to point out these two characters in the story. True story, you have Mary of Bethany as the first, and you have Judas Iscariot as the second, both followers of Christ. Well, one of these was a sellout of Christ. You know the story, many of you will look at it this morning. He was a traitor of Christ. He betrayed Christ. He sold Christ out. He traded Christ for something else in his life. And then you have the other one, Mary of Bethany, a sold out. She sold out everything. She says, all that I have is yours, Christ, in my life. There's a difference between a sellout and a sold out. We're going to preach on that subject this morning. Sell out or sold out? I want to ask us this morning, which one are we? Am I a sold out Christian or am I a sellout Christian? Which one am I in my life? Let's bow for a word of prayer. We'll look at the message this morning from God's Word. Lord, we ask that you please bless this morning. I'd ask that you please work through me, Lord. I'd ask that you give me the words to say in your wisdom and your power. I'm helpless without you, Lord. I need you. Lord, these people came because they want to hear something from you this morning. Please speak through us or to us this morning, Lord. Lord, I believe there's something for everybody this morning in this room. I believe this is a message for the hour, so I'd ask that you please use it to help convict or encourage or challenge whatever you see fit this morning. May decisions be made for you. We'll give you the praise and the glory for it and the honor for it. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. In Matthew chapter 26, we find Jesus here at the house of Simon the leper eating dinner with several people, his disciples, Simon, probably others that were there as well. In the time frame of the story, the setting, it's getting close to the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. He is on the verge of being arrested, brought to the judgment hall, and eventually hung on that cross to die there, and then to be buried, and then, of course, rise again. Verse number 6, we'll pick it up there. It says, now when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon, the leper, there came unto him a woman. Now I want to point out who this woman is. This is important. You find in other passages of Scripture, other Gospels, where you see that this woman is named Mary of Bethany. Mary had a close relationship with Jesus Christ. She had a great love for Christ. You see many times where Jesus would go over to Mary, Martha, and Lazarus' house. That's that Mary. Of course, not only did she have a close relationship, but she had a deep love because of not only was he over there very often, But if you remember, Lazarus, her brother, died, and Jesus had raised her brother from the dead. How much closer would you be when Christ has done something that great in your life? Some of you may have spouses in this room that were at a near-death experience, and God saw to it that their life was spared. And how great a love and appreciation that you have when that happens. And if you can imagine, Lazarus had died, but Mary had seen her brother come back to life, and she had a great love. Anytime that God does something great in her life, a great love for us ought to reciprocate a great love to Him. Christ has done so much for us, we ought to have a love for Him in return for what He's done. Think about it. Christ sacrificed His own life on that old rugged cross for you and I. He poured out His blood. He gave His body so that you and I can have a home in heaven, so that we can have forgiveness for sin. There ought to be a great love there for all that Christ has done for us. I get scared when I see a Christian that doesn't have very great love for their Savior. Something's wrong there. There ought to be some reciprocation of that love that we have after He's loved us so much. Verse number 7, let's read on here. It says, there came unto Him a woman, we're talking about this woman here, Mary of Bethany, having an alabaster box, notice this, a very precious ointment. She poured it on His head as He sat at meat. This woman, Mary here, she has an alabaster box, a vase, if you want to call it, full of precious ointment. You studied out, it's spikenard. Very costly, very expensive. It was valued, according to the disciples, somewhere around 300 pence, according to Judas. You read on in the story there. Well, if you define the word pence, it was a penny worth. If you read the New Testament, you find out that a penny worth was the average day wage for a laborer in that time. Now think about this. I'm going somewhere. Think about this. 300 pence, 300 penny worth, 300 days of working. This woman has this ointment worth almost a year's worth of wages. You want an equivalent? Let's throw it out there. $20,000, $30,000 is maybe an average here in Terre Haute. I don't know. Almost a year's worth. So if you want equivalents here, if we had this ointment today, I don't know what it costs for a spikenard today, but in that time, the equivalent, $20,000 to $30,000 worth of ointment here. No doubt she had worked hard for this. No doubt this was expensive ointment that she had poured a lot of blood, sweat, and tears into. Fellas, you thought your wife's perfume was expensive. And we're talking 20, 30 grand. That's expensive perfume right there. Mary, unlike the other disciples, listened and understood Jesus when He taught on the coming death and resurrection. Remember after Christ died, the disciples were mourning. They were surprised when His body wasn't there. Mary of Bethany wasn't surprised. You know, Mary of Bethany didn't even show up to the tomb. It was the other Marys that showed up to the tomb. You know why? Because she listened and paid attention as Jesus taught. Her Savior was precious to her. She wanted something from Him. She wanted that teaching. She wanted to be around Him. You know, sometimes we get used to things around us and we zone out. Sometimes we get used to church. You know, we're there every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night, and we just zone out. Sometimes we get used to things in our life, we zone out. Some of you all that work a repetitious job, eventually you can zone out of everything else going on and just, you know, be in your own little mind there because it's so repetitive. And so I think the disciples sometimes zoned out. They were with Jesus 24/7. And Jesus, there was many times He talked about His death and His resurrection that He was going to have to go through so that we can have salvation. Mary didn't zone out, though. She paid attention. You heard about the kindergarten teacher, right? They were finishing up Sunday school, and the kindergarten teacher was getting ready to dismiss the class to the morning service. And she says, "Now, class, you know why it's important to be quiet in church, don't you?" And one of the kids raises their hand. She says, "Yes, Billy." And Billy says, "Because there's a lot of people sleeping in there." That's awfully true. But Mary paid attention. She didn't zone out. And in preparation for Jesus' death and burial, Mary took her costly perfume. And the Bible says she poured it not only upon her head, but you read in other parts of the story, upon His feet too, and washed His feet with her hair. What we see here through this lady Mary is a woman that was sold out to Jesus Christ. She was sold out. Pay attention to what happened here. An ointment that was very expensive. Maybe a year's worth of working to obtain this ointment, this perfume here. She was willing to put it all on the line to give it to Christ. She was a sold-out follower of Christ. She was dedicated, is what I see here. She was committed to Christ, is what I see here. She would hold nothing back. No expense was too expensive for her Savior. Oh, that we would be like Mary. Let nothing come between us and the Savior. Many times things come between us and our Savior. And then we get to this other character, Judas. Verse 8. As she pours upon this ointment upon Jesus, we see in verse 8, but when his disciples saw it, and when you study out the different passages, once again, you find out, not only is he talking about the disciples here, but specifically, he's talking about a character by the name of Judas. Y'all remember Judas. He says, when the disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? For this ointment may have been sold for much and given to the poor. This is remarkable in the fact that she's pouring out this ointment upon Christ and honoring Christ before his death and his burial. And all of a sudden, Judas speaks up and he says, what kind of waste is going on? What are you doing here? And he begins to criticize the honor that Mary is giving Jesus. You know, there's always a critic when honor to Christ is being done. There's always a critic when service to God is being done. There's always somebody picking and criticizing about the work that's being done. It's interesting to note, they always try to make themselves look spiritual too. Well, we could have sold it for the poor. Yeah, right, Judas, you liar. He was the one that kept the money bag, and he wanted part of that. They always seem so spiritual, but there's a selfish motivation behind the criticism. Oh, be careful about criticizing the service and the honor that goes towards Christ. The Bible tells us he was filled with great indignation. I just can't imagine this. The wrath, the anger. How can you be filled with anger over the fact that she's honoring Christ? But this is Judas that we see here. Remember, he's a follower of Christ. He's one of the 12 disciples. We read a few verses farther. It's no surprise that we find in verse 15 what Judas does here. Judas sells out Christ. Look at verse 15. He said unto them, speaking of the chief priests, he said unto the chief priests, what will ye give me? And I will deliver him, talking about Jesus there, unto you. And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. Think about this now for a second, folks. Don't read this just regular, you know, well, I've read this a billion times. Think about this story here. Make it real to you. A follower of Christ, he's been with Jesus Christ for 3.5 years now. One of the 12 disciples, one of the core here, goes and sells out Jesus Christ for 30 pieces of silver. You know what that tells me? Well, Pastor, I've been saved for so long. Pastor, I've been in church for a lot of years. Pastor, I got it. None of us are over and above. You say you're talking about sell out and sold out. None of us are above selling out Christ. If one of the inner core can do it, without God's grace, there go I as well. I got to understand where I stand here. Judas, a follower of Christ, is a sellout of Jesus here in this story. I can't believe what I'm reading here about what's going on. A measly 30 pieces of silver. Significantly lower, if you study it out, significantly lower than what Mary's perfume cost to pour on Jesus Christ. He sold out the Son of God for some silver. The value to sell out Jesus was far less than the value to be sold out to Jesus. Christian, understand, there's always a higher worth to being sold out for Jesus than selling out to Jesus. Hey, you'll always get more out of being sold out to Christ than selling out Christ in your life. You'll always get more when you say, God, you have all that I am, you have all that I have, than you will saying, I'm going to trade Christ in my life for a little bit more in my life. Always. How opposite these two followers are. We have a sold out Mary and a sell out Judas. I want to ask us this morning by way of message, which one describes you and I? Which one describes you and I? Is it the sellout, the one that would trade off Christ? Or is it the one that is sold out that says, Christ, anything that I have, all that I am, is yours? Now, we'd like to think, and I'd like to think, that all of us this morning are above the average. But we got to be honest this morning. And if we'll be honest, we'll understand, examining the average Christian, doesn't think twice many times about selling out Jesus. Say, Pastor, not me. The average Christian doesn't think twice. People sell out Jesus for a buck all the time. Can I get a little bit more money? Or can I be in church? We got to make that choice. It doesn't think twice. Oh, overtime. Bam. There it is. The average Christian doesn't think twice about putting the buck before Jesus. The money many times comes first in our life. We say, how can Judas trade the Savior out for so little, for 30 pieces of silver? How can Jesus or Judas betray the Son of God for a little bit of money? Let me ask us this morning, how much will we trade Jesus out for? How much do we need to gain in our life in order to put Christ aside and put something else in His place, whether it be a job or whether it be anything else? How much am I willing to sell out Christ for? Hey, time and a half? Do I sell out Christ for time and a half? Do I sell out Christ for a little bit more per hour? Do I sell out Christ for a little bit higher position at my job? What do you sell out Christ for? You say, Pastor, it's 2016. Don't you understand that money and careers are important? But what's more important, Jesus Christ in our lives or pay in our lives? That's what I'm talking about this morning. What do we sell out Christ for? You see, we might not be going to the chief priest saying, hey, give me 30 pieces of silver and I'll give them as your prisoner, but we sell them out in our life on an average. Hey, pastors do it all the time. The pastor will change his message. The pastor will change his methods so that they can have bigger bucks in the offering plate. I'm talking about the pew and I'm talking about the pulpit as well. Too many times as an average, the Christian will sell out Jesus Christ. We'll sell him out for a buck. We'll sell him out to blend in with the world around us. Hey, Christ has called us to come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Christ has called us to be different from the world, to not blend in, to not look like the world. In fact, Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, be not conformed. You know what that conforming to look like? Brother Rich, you work a job where you build molds, right? You build those molds for lights on cars. You put something in a mold, it turns out looking the same way that the mold looked, right? Am I right, Brother Mike? Turns out the same way of the mold. He says, don't be conformed. Don't be that mold of the world. Don't look like the world. But he says, be transformed. Transforms mean totally different. That means I look at a Christian and I look at the lost person and I say, man, there's a difference between the two. Too many times as Christians, we sell out on Christ and say, I'd rather blend in with the world than stand apart from the world. I don't want to look like the oddball. I don't want to stand out from everybody else. Many today are doing their best to blend in with the world. And let me say, our lights are awfully dim in America. Let thy light so shine before men. Our lights are awfully dim in this country right now. Why? Because we're blending in. The Christian is dropping their standards in order to look a little bit more like the world. I don't want to look different at my work, Pastor. I don't want to look different at school. I don't want to look different in the public places. You know, Peter did the same. Peter did the same thing. He was outside of that judgment hall, and Christ is being crucified, and they say, hey, aren't you one of his disciples? Oh, no, no, and he throws in some cuss words so that he blends in with them. Do I sell out Jesus to look a little bit more like everybody else around me? Maybe throw out some language, sell out a little bit in my appearance, sell out in my actions so that I might blend in. Some sell out Jesus so that they can blend with the world. They trade out growing in the image of Christ in order to blend in with the world. People sell out Jesus to be entertained and have some fun. Hey, some sacrifice pleasing Christ and pleasing the Savior to please themselves a little bit. That's going on in immense quantities here in our churches, here in our country. It's not about what pleases my Savior, it's about what pleases me. And we're trading out Jesus Christ, we're selling out Jesus Christ so I can have a bottle of booze. I can wine and dine with folks. Hey, what's more important? There's probably 90% of churches anymore teach alcohol, nothing wrong with it. You go ahead and drink. There's Baptist churches teaching alcohol is fine, you go ahead and drink. Read the Bible, would you? Over 75 verses that are explicit about we ought not put the wine bottle to our lips, let alone even look at it, he says. But sellouts. The Christian has no place in the dance halls. The Christian has no place in the bar rooms. The Christian has no place in front of the movie with a bunch of rotten scenes on it and rotten language. A Christian has no place. But Pastor, I need a little bit of pleasure and entertainment. It's in the name of fun. But can I say, well, we got something wrong here when we follow after Judas's steps and I sell out in the name of pleasure and I put Christ to the side in order to have a little bit of fun in my life. What are we willing to sell Christ out for? How cheap is our Savior to us? If you would turn over to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. I believe when we have a proper view of Jesus Christ in our life, we're not willing to sell out. I believe much of it boils down to my view in Christ in my life. How precious is Christ in my life? 1 Peter chapter 2 talks about this. He's talking to the Christian here, the born-again believer here. Verse number 6. I would like to read verse number 6 and a portion of verse number 7. Are you there? Amen. Let's look at it. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone. Anyone want to take a guess who that is? You got it right. Jesus Christ. Elect. Notice this term here he uses. Precious. And he ought to be precious. And he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Hey, when you believe on Jesus Christ as your Savior, you'll not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, notice this, he is what? He is precious. He says, unto you that believe, unto you that trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, he ought to be precious in your life. Jesus Christ has great value. And I'm not talking about the Walmart version of great value. I'm talking about a great value, a high value. Jesus Christ ought to have great value in our life. You can't put a price tag on Jesus Christ. How precious is he to us this morning? Without Christ, you and I would have no peace. He is a Prince of Peace. You'd have no peace of eternity. You'd have no peace in this life. Well, without him, without Christ, I would have no hope. He is our hope, the Bible says, in our salvation. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I'd have no hope of heaven if it wasn't for Jesus Christ in my life. He is precious because of the hope. Without Christ, you and I would have no guide. He is my guide in my life. Without him, I would be lost, and I would have no answer to a life more abundant. We must realize that I would be nowhere if it wasn't for Christ. There was a man, he had been married for a while with his wife. He began to take his wife for granted, like many of us husbands do at times. Began to not realize what a wonderful help she was to him. And her mother got sick for about a month. She had to go back to her mother and care for her mother, which meant he was home alone, which meant his laundry wasn't getting done. Right, fellas? Which meant the dishes on the counter begin to stack up. So there was no more cups to use, so you got to go out and buy styrofoam cups. No, don't think I speak by experience. He had no person to make his hot meals for him. He had no helpmeet beside him to comfort him. He had nobody beside him telling him when to go where and what to do to keep his schedule for him. Amen, men? He got to the end of the month and he didn't realize what he had until he no longer had what he had for that time period. He realized what he was when she wasn't there. And that made her precious when she came home. Now, Christian, would you pause a second this morning and realize where would you be without Christ? Were it not for grace, like they sung this morning. Sometimes we take our Savior for granted because we get so caught up in the schedule and the motions for everything. Why don't I pause for a second and play out my life, what it would look like if it wasn't for Christ in my life. Play out my home, what would that look like without Christ in my home? Play out my eternity, an eternity in hell if it wasn't for Christ, shedding His blood on the cross. If it were not for Christ, I must realize where I would be without Him. Christ ought to be the most precious thing to us. And to Mary, He was. Yes, she had this expensive ointment, but that wasn't as precious. That was not as precious as her Savior. Is there something in our life that is more precious than Christ? Because when something becomes more precious, that's when we sell out Christ. When family time becomes more precious than Christ, we sell out Christ for family time. I'm all for family time. I'm strong in the family. But when it sells out Jesus Christ in my life, then it's in the wrong place. If my job comes before Christ, I'm selling out the Savior in my life. Something's more precious than Christ. You see, there was nothing more precious than her Savior to her. Christ ought to be precious. How precious is a Savior in the life of the believer? To Mary of Bethany, he was of a high value, highly esteemed. Nothing was more precious. But to Judas, catch this, to Judas, the Savior was cheap. He was cheap. The perfume's not worth it. In fact, 30 pieces of silver is worth selling him out for. If our Savior is precious to us, we will not be so quick to sell him out to sleep in on a Sunday morning instead of be in the house of God. If our Savior is precious to us, we will not be so quick to sell him out in our devotion time with him in the morning for something else. Or our daily living to live how we want instead. Rather, we will find it reasonable to be sold out for him. The Bible says in Romans, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy acceptable unto God. It sounds like the Christian life isn't just Sunday living. It sounds like it's Sunday through Sunday living. It's Monday living, and it's Tuesday living, and it's Wednesday living, at home and at work and in the neighborhood and out shop. I'm supposed to be a Christian constantly, holy, acceptable unto God. He says, which is your reasonable, keyword there, reasonable service. Christ says, it's not unreasonable. I ought to be precious in your life. And it's not unreasonable for me to say, hey, you ought to be committed. I ought to be first. The sold-out believer is really what Christ desires of us. Jesus said about Mary, if you look back in our text in verse 10, he tells Judas, he says, what trouble ye the woman? Or why trouble ye the woman? She hath wrought a good work upon me. Christ was pleased by Mary's work. He said, no, I like this. This is what I want. I believe when God looks down and he sees a believer that is 100% sold out to him, he looks down and he says, hey, that's what I like. That's a good thing. I'm pleased with that. Hey, this morning, if Christ is precious and you haven't sold him out in your life, he's looking down and saying, hey, that's what I want. That's what I like. And that's what he's saying to Mary here. Oh, how it thrills the heart of the Savior to see a sold out Christian. A Christian that truly puts God first. Not the buck first, not fun first, but Christ first. Oh, how it thrills his heart to see a Christian that's committed to his Bible or her Bible reading, committed to that prayer life of spending time with God. Nothing gets in between him and God. To see a Christian that's not ashamed to stand out for God in his or her appearance. I'm saying this morning, there's a lot of people that are followers of Christ. There's a lot of people that claim to be followers. But there's a difference between the sellout follower and the sold out follower. Judas and Mary were both followers. But the key is, were they sell out or sold out? There are several qualities that determine whether we're sell-out followers or sold-out followers. I want to look what we see this morning in the life of Mary and Judas at three qualities that determine the type of follower that I am. First, I want you to notice our aim determines whether we're a sell-out or a sold-out follower. Our aim is going to determine whether I'm a sell-out follower or a sold-out follower. Our aim, our focus that we have will determine whether I'm more like Mary or more like Judas as a follower in my life. What was Judas's aim? I want you to notice this. What was Judas's aim? Judas's aim was himself. It was all about him. If you read the story there, Mary pours out that perfume, and Judas's response over in John, Judas's response, he says, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? He says, why don't we sell this money? Why don't we give it to the poor? And it goes on to say, this he said not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag, and bare what was put therein. Jesus didn't care about the poor and his accusation against Mary. He says, hey, I want a little bit more for me. What's in it for me? You see, the key here, his aim was on himself. What can I gain? What can I gain from what I'm doing? Not what can Christ gain, what can I gain? What's in it for me? Matthew chapter 26, verse 15, Judas goes to the chief priest, and he says, what will ye give me? And I'll deliver him. You see, it was all about Judas. It was all about what Judas wanted, how Judas could profit from it. The Christian can develop the same if we're not careful, where it's all about me. All about my profit. It's all about my desires, my pleasure. What do I want in my life? Whenever our aim is ourselves, I'm going to end up a sellout. Whenever my aim is all about me and what I want in my life, you guarantee it won't be long where something comes along and I say, you know what, I'm selling out. I'm going to go this direction because that benefits me. Look at Mary. Mary's aim. Who was Mary's aim? Mary's aim was Christ. Contrary to Judas, her aim was, what can I do for the Savior? Not what's in it for me, but what can I do for him? What can I do for him? Christian, catch this morning. Her attitude was, or her aim was, how can I please him? How can I honor him? Her focus was not on herself, but her focus was on Christ. And Christian, if we could get this down this morning, if our focus and our aim will be set on Christ, I'm not going to sell out Christ in my life. When my focus is on pleasing him, I don't have to worry about giving up on him. What question do we ask in our life? What's in it for me? Or what can I do for Christ? As I live this week, what question am I going to ask as choices come up? Am I going to ask, well, what's in this for me? Or am I going to ask, what would Christ want me to do? It's simple. What is our aim? What is our aim? Our focus determines whether we're followers of Christ that sell him out or are sold out. Often, when ships go down, you know this, the captain many times will go down with the ship, right? Captain Edward J. Is it Smith? Titanic, 1912. Any history buffs in here? Nobody. Oh, thank you, Brother Clarence. Went down with the ship, famous for it. Why does a captain go down with his ship? Why do captains sometimes abandon ships? You know, sometimes, or in different countries, that's illegal. Why do they go down with the ship? Because their aim, their focus is on their ship and their passengers. A captain abandons the ship when his focus and aim is on himself and his own life. You know when somebody bails and abandons Christ in their life? When their focus is on themselves and their life and their pleasure and what they want. But when we switch our focus to be on what God wants and what God has for my life and God's plans, guess what? I'll stay with it. I'm not going to bail. I'm not going to sell out on Jesus Christ. Our aim, we must be so careful that our aim doesn't become on ourselves or our desires or the promotion in my life. 2 Corinthians 5:9, if you would allow me to read a verse to you, and if not, I'm going to read it anyways, so bear with me. Wherefore, he says, wherefore we labor, we work, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. And what is a Christian labor? Paul says we labor and we work that we might be accepted of him. Hey, that's what we're working towards. Christian, our aim ought to be working towards, I want to be accepted of Christ. Everything in my life, I want to be accepted of him. I want to please him. And it boils down to, is my aim for myself or is it for Jesus Christ in my life? In our appearance, in what I'm working towards, in my language, in my daily, all of it. It points towards him. It points towards him. Who is our focus this morning? Is it us or is it Christ? Because your aim, your focus, will determine whether you sell out or whether you're sold out. If my focus is him, there's nothing that comes between because he's worth it all. Let me say secondly, our attitude determines whether we're sellouts or sold out. Not only my aim, who I'm aiming at, but my attitude is going to determine whether I'm a sellout or sold out. The mindset of the Christian is going to determine which direction he goes. Christian, our thinking is critical. What goes on up here, it's so critical. Your thoughts that you allow, your perspective, your view of things, your mindset is critical in the Christian life. Judas was a follower who had an attitude of, let me count the costs and see what it'll cost me to serve. Let me look at how much it'll cost. Hey, Mary, stop what you're doing. Teenagers, listen now. Mary, stop what you're doing. Let's count the cost. How much is this perfume worth that you're putting on Christ? How much is it going to cost to serve Christ? What will it cost me? And Judas viewed Mary's service as a waste. Can you imagine that? Viewed that pouring out of that ointment on Jesus as a waste. Can I say no service to God is a waste? No service to God. You do something for God's glory, it's not a waste. No door knocked out soul winning is a waste of time. No effort serving. No taking time to change baby diapers. No time spent in choir practice, getting ready to praise God that following. No time spent serving is a waste. What? You give 10% of your income to a church? What a waste. You must be in a cult. Can I say, hey, no amount is a waste. That's what Judas' thinking was. What are you giving to Christ? That's a waste. Hey, you go to church 3 times a week? What a waste. You realize what you could be doing all that time? No. No time we spent serving God is wasted. No time you spend in God's house. No spending your time serving. No money you spend giving is a waste. Every bit is worth it. Mary understood that. Judas says, let me count the cost. I got to see if it's a waste or this is worth it. It was all about him, and his attitude was, I got to count and see what it's going to cost me. Judas said this, to what purpose is this waste? Hey, Judas, I'll tell you, to the purpose of glorifying and honoring your God. That's what purpose it was wasted for. Hey, that's a pretty good purpose right there. That's a good enough purpose for me if it's going to honor God. No, the poor weren't fed by it. No, the homeless weren't put in a shelter by what she did. But can I say, God was glorified and that's good enough? There's some things that we do in life. We're getting around this philosophy that if it's not feeding the poor, and I'm for feeding the poor, and I'm for putting people in shelters, But we get this idea, if it's not helping others, it must not matter a whole lot. Your appearance, your dress doesn't matter because it's not helping people get to heaven, so how does it matter? It must not be important to God, right? It didn't feed the poor. Can I say for the very fact that it brings glory and honor to God is purpose enough to go ahead and do it? Well, it doesn't help people get to heaven, so it's not a big deal to God. It is a big deal to God because anything that brings glory and honor to God is a big deal to God.
Amen.
Well, singing's not that big of a deal. It doesn't change whether somebody's going to heaven or not. But can I say it brings glory and honor to God? Praising does. And so that right there is enough to say, I'm going to open up my mouth and I'm going to sing to His honor and to His glory. Why? Because I'm giving glory and honor to Him. There's some things in life that we do, not because it's going to help somebody else, but because it gives praise and honor and glory to Him. And guess what? That's why we were created.
Amen.
So that's all right. Her focus was a little bit different than Judas's focus. Judas's focus, once again, his focus was, hey, what is it going to cost? Mary was a follower whose attitude was, nothing is too high a cost for the Savior. What, a year's worth of wages? Okay, that's not too high of a cost. The tithe is too much for some, let alone a year's worth of wages, right? Thanksgiving offering. What, Pastor? I already give a tithe. To Mary, she says, no, God, nothing's too much for you. Her attitude. One's count the costs and one is no cost is too much. Our attitude about our service will determine if I'm a sellout or if I'm sold out. Because you know what's going to happen? Eventually I'm going to get to a point where selling out is going to look like an appeal to me. It's going to offer some stuff. And if I don't establish this proper attitude of, it doesn't matter what the cost, I'm going to serve God anyways, then at that point, I'm going to sell out on Him. There's going to come some time where it's going to serve God or cost me to serve God. I better have established this attitude at any cost. At any cost, I'm going to serve Him. There was a young man by the name of William Borden. Anyone ever hear of William Borden? Missionary. He never actually got to the field. He died before he was able to preach his first message over to China where he was planning on going. William Borden, though, came from a wealthy family. His father made tons of money mining silver over in Colorado. Wealthy, wealthy man. He could have had it made. Could have sat back and relaxed the rest of his life because of the inheritance coming to him. But he says, you know what? There's no cost too high than to serve my Christ. And he put it all aside, laid it all aside, and said, no, I'm serving my Savior. Am I going to be a sellout or a sold out? What's my attitude towards Christ? What is too high a cost for us to serve Him? Let me ask us this morning, do we gripe about having to serve God? Or do we feel privileged about it? Philippians chapter 3, verse 7, Paul made this statement. He says, but what things were gained to me, I counted loss for Christ. He says, if it gains me, I counted a loss for Christ. And he says, those things that gained me, you know, Paul lost a lot when he chose to serve Christ. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He had it made. He had the fame. He was up there in status. He had the money. He had the wealth. And he gave it all up to serve Christ. And you know what he said about it? He says, those things that I lost, I count but dung for the cause of Christ. He says, it doesn't matter in my life because there is no cost that is too high for me to serve my Savior. Our attitude about the cost of serving Christ will determine if I'm a sellout or sold out. Let me give you the last one. We'll go to the house. Lastly, our heir. Our heir determines whether we sell out or are sold out. My aim, who I'm going after, Christ or myself. My attitude, and lastly, my heir. Whether my heart is filled with pride or whether my heart is filled with humility is going to determine what kind of follower I am. Whether I stick with Christ and I serve Him at any cost or whether I say, you know what, that's enough, I'm selling out. Judas was a follower who couldn't get over himself. Man, Judas was filled with arrogance and pride. You see it in the story here. I don't know, maybe this is why he became a follower. I can't say for sure. But maybe the fact that he saw Jesus as the healer and somebody, and everybody was flocking to him. When Jesus says, will you be my follower? He thinks in his mind, hey, look at him, popularity. I can be one of the inner core to the healer. Good opportunity. Maybe pride was the reason he joined. I don't know. Maybe it was after a while, all the crowds around him, he got to thinking he was somebody. But there's no doubt in my mind that Judas had this attitude of this heart, of pride. In the story we read it, Judas wanted some of Jesus' glory. That ointment's poured out on Jesus and he's thinking, I want some of that money for me. When Jesus rebuked Judas, look at this, for his harsh treatment against Mary, he says, hey, Judas, you're wrong. She's right. What did Judas do? He walks out the door, slams the door on Christ, and goes and sells out Jesus Christ for 30 pieces of silver. You know why? You know why? Because he was too proud to accept correction and reproof. His air about him. Well, I'm not going to be humbled to this Mary and in front of all these people. I'm going to sell out Jesus Christ. I'm going to go trade him out. Now, if we're not careful, Christian, we could get that same air about us. None of us have arrived. None of us are there. I'm everything. I got it all down. Pastor, I've been saved for years and years and years. I got it all down. I've been saved since you were knee high to a grasshopper. You realize how old I am? I know you're ancient, but that doesn't mean you have it all together. You see, sometimes we can get that air about us. You know, when I have that air, you know what happens? Because we all need correction and instruction. From here all the way to back there. We all need it at times. And when my air is wrong and I get corrected, then I'm like Judas, and I turn out, I slam the door, and I quit church. I slam the door. I had enough of that. I'm not going to listen to that anymore. Because we can't take rebuke because of pride. If our error is wrong, you mark it down, you're going to be a sellout. Something's going to happen where you're going to receive some type of rebuke, some type of correction. You're going to be humiliated in your mind, and you're going to say, I had enough. I'm going to sell out. Our error is so important as a Christian. Mary was a follower who was satisfied to wash Jesus' feet with her hair. Think about this. How humble. I hate feet. Anybody like touching other people's feet? I could never make it one of those foot washing churches. I just could not do it. I don't know if we have any that, you know, have attended one of those places in the past, and, you know, bless you for it, but I couldn't do it. Looking at those hairy feet that look like hobbit feet, I'll pass. I'm glad that God does not make that as a qualification for salvation. Amen. Can you imagine washing somebody's feet with your hair? You say, well, it was the Savior's feet, yes. But think about it. He had feet just like anybody else's feet. That's a humbling thing. To bow yourself down on the ground and get low enough to take your hair and pour on oil and wash his feet with that hair down at the ground. And your head is pretty much at the... You can't get a whole lot more humble than that. You see the difference between the air of these two people? One was so cocky and so proud and so arrogant. You're not going to correct me. Who are you to tell me what to do? And one says, nothing's too low for me, Christ. Nothing's too low. You know, she had a tender heart to receive from Christ too. You remember her? She was the one that sat at Jesus' feet. Martha's busy serving and Mary's sitting there, Christ, teach me. I want more. You see, it takes a humble heart to receive teaching and correction and instruction. Mary knew she needed that. Her air was different. And that's why she was a sold-out Christian, is because her air was one of humility and not built up with pride. She didn't know it all. The Christian needs an air of humility, not of arrogance. Humble enough to understand, hey, I don't know it all. I need some correction at times. I need some instruction. I need growing in my life. All of us have growing to do. Humble enough to receive that in my life. Humble enough to serve in the lowest of places. I have a feeling that Judas liked the spotlight. One of the 12 disciples, he was a treasurer. He's got the bag. He's the one that gave the money to the poor people when they needed it. He liked the spotlight. I can't have the spotlight? Fine. I'm selling out. Sometimes Christians are like that. I can't have that spotlight position. I'm not doing nothing. What are we willing to do for Christ? An air of humility allows a follower to stay whether they're nobody or somebody. Whether they're corrected or rebuked or not. Why? Because they're sold out. Can I say both folks this morning, I'm done, both folks this morning were followers of Christ. Judas was a disciple. Mary was a follower of Christ. But one was a sellout and one was a sold out. And their stories give us the end result. Judas goes out, he sells out, he gets his 30 pieces of silver. Christ is crucified. He's so guilty He's so miserable in his life. He goes back and he says, have your money back. He throws it back at them. They won't accept it. He goes out and hangs himself. And what a miserable, horrible end for the life of Judas, the sellout. You know why? Because he sold out on Christ. I think we live in a day and an age where more than ever we have Christians that are miserable in their Christian life. The problems with depression that you see in Christians today, the problems with frustration, just miserable. You know where a lot of it points back to? They sold out on, or they sell out on Christ somewhere in their life. They trade him out, and they're searching for something else rather than keeping Christ preeminent. Christ created us for his purpose of pleasure, and any time I get outside of his purpose, I'm going to be miserable in my life. We got Judas's end, you got Mary's end. I like Mary's end. Mary didn't even go to the tomb. You know why? Because she already knew. She knew what Christ had taught. She was humble enough to receive it. She says, he's going to rise. It'll be all be all right. You know what Jesus said about Mary? I'm going to use Mary's testimony for the rest of history, or for the rest of the future, as history of a testimony of somebody that brought honor and glory to me. Man, we read today Mary's story here. What a great ending. Why? Why? Because she's sold out. There's always a higher worth to being sold out to Christ than selling out of Christ. Are you sold out this morning, or are you a sellout? How precious is the Savior to us? How precious? I'll tell you how precious. Where's our aim at this morning? What are we aiming for? Am I aiming for the Savior? Am I aiming for Christ? Or am I aiming for myself in my life? I'll tell you, what's our attitude? Well, let me count the cost. Or is it, no, there's no cost too high. Anything, God. What's our air? Am I arrogant in my life, in my Christian life, or am I humble enough to say, God, I need more. I need more of you. Heads bowed and eyes closed this morning. Are you a sellout or sold out? I would dare say, I don't know that any of us are a sellout.